Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle Me Mark!
Wrestle Me Pete! Welcome to Wrestle Me Mass, the most festive wrestling podcast. I say that, I don't listen to any other wrestling podcasts.
Do you reckon the other podcasts have kind of got involved? They've probably put jingle bell music on there.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I think I like that little clip that we've got of Gorilla and Bobby at the top.
Yeah,
that's nice.
You might have noticed that me and Mark, we listen to Wrestle Me back every now and again. We've said off air, we privately do actually quite enjoy listening to the show. So you guys must be getting a real kick out of it.
We've already heard it. And when we listen back, we're like, this is brilliant.
We do several podcasts in a week, and this is the only one I really listen back to.
This is actually the only one that I think of as being a podcast that I do. The other ones are all like, oh, I've got to go and do that. You know, it is a pain. And the reason for that, of course, is because we're talking about the single greatest thing ever invented, which is the sport of professional wrestling.
Exactly.
I mean, yes. It's a sort of joy to do it.
It feeds me.
Yeah, it really. That's
like a profit's all, baby.
We are going back to a key moment, dear boy, in the wrestling history.
The wrestling history.
TWH. God, we set this up like, oh, this is such a good podcast.
Yeah.
And all that's done is make me lose the ability to actually speak. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
5 minutes and 40 seconds, right? The modern wrestling industry is born. They change the belt. It changes the lighting. It changes the way that wrestlers look, the way that matches are wrestled. It is Hulk Hogan versus the Iron Sheik in 1984, the 23rd of Jan. This is the birth of Hulkamania,
right?
The birth of the modern WWF and the birth of modern wrestling.
So why was it the birth of Hulkamania in particular? Because obviously it's a match between Hulk Hogan and Iron Sheik. I presume they wrestled together before, but was this just something that had never... The decibel levels were higher than usual?
This is actually Hogan's first match back in the WWF after a long break.
Right.
So he's had a first run in about 1979. He's been on some cards. He's, you know, protected and he's a big star.
Yeah.
But he goes off to the AWA. And while he's in the AWA, which is a federation based in Minneapolis, where he never wins the world belt but comes close, he ends up being cast as a wrestler in Rocky III.
Okay.
He plays Thunderlips, and pretty much overnight he becomes the most recognizable pro wrestler in America.
Yes, okay. That's why.
Over in the WWF at this time, when Hogan is in the AWA, they've got Bob Backlund on top. And Bob Backlund is one of the longest reigning WWF champions of all time. He's there 7 years. He's got a very all-American, collegiate, amateur wrestler background. He's very clean cut. He's not very good on the mic, not hugely charismatic, and he's getting stale. What happens is that Vince McMahon Jr. is now taking over from his father. And he begins looking and says, wrestling can be different. It's all done in territories. There's all these different promoters. What if I could center this and get national TV, be seen all over America? I'd have the biggest stars and I'd make the most money. And that's what he's setting out to do. So he decides that the person who he can basically hitch his wagon behind is going to be Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, the guy who everybody knows from Rocky III.
Yeah.
So Hogan is brought back to the WWF in early 1983. And it's a card at, I think, Madison Square Garden. Bob Backlund is in a 3-on-1 match against the Wild Samoans. And Hulk Hogan comes to his aid when they're beating him down. Mm. And this pretty much accomplishes a couple of things. One is that it sets Hogan up as a good guy because he's always been a bad guy in his previous WWF runs. Mm. And they never really acknowledged the fact that he'd been a good guy anywhere else because they don't like other people's wrestling infiltrating WWF.
Right.
They are the one strand of wrestling. Anything that happens outside is irrelevant. The second is it makes Backlund injured. So what Backlund can't do is have the following month his title rematch for the belt that he's lost to the Iron Sheik. And what that also means is that Hulk Hogan can come in his first match, he can storm through and he can destroy everything that has gone before him.
Right.
And that's exactly what he does. So this is not just a thing of going, let's put this guy over big. This guy represents Vince McMahon's big plan to remold the wrestling landscape under his WWF auspices. Mm. And it's a plan which works without any complication or hitch. It is, he steamrollers within 4 years.
Mm.
I mean, he's basically got his competition down to one viable opponent, which is NWA, WCW, and they are so far beneath what the WWF is doing, they might as well not be there.
Mm.
It's just an astonishing game plan. And what it really is it shows the brilliance of Vince McMahon in that as he began putting this together, he chose entirely the right person. And what he does is he destroys everything that's gone before. If you look at people in 1979, like Bob Backlund, or 1980, he was still the champion then, all the way through to 83, you could have put Bob Backlund in wrestling in the 30s. Mm. And cosmetically, he might look a bit different, but he could feasibly have been a star then.
Right.
So 50 years, wrestlers have all been pretty much the same. Local tough guys. They are, you know, funny, but they're not great on the mic. You see them once a month, you don't get tired of them. Vince McMahon, with one man, destroys everyone's idea of what a wrestler looks like, of what a wrestling match should be. So Backlund's been wrestling 35-minute matches, 40-minute matches. This one is, what, sub 5 minutes. Bang. Done. You've got a hero. He stops wrestlers being tough guys and he makes them into bigger, larger-than-life superheroes.
Mm.
Hulk Hogan is when he's actually backstage before he comes out, everything is perfect. So you've got the Iron Sheik. He represents Middle Eastern terrorism. At the time, you're getting a lot of hostage taking in the Middle East. You've got the Ayatollah saying death to America. You're seeing the sort of stars and stripes being burnt on the streets of Tehran.
Mm.
You put that guy in. He is the ultimate cartoon villain, the Iron Sheik. You then get Hogan. Hogan comes out in a T-shirt that says American Made. He crosses himself, you know, with a sort of Catholic sort of whatever that's called, the spectacles, testicles, wallet and watch. And out he comes, and he is in that dark, smoky arena. He is just this tanned gold, like lump of gold.
Yeah, a 30, just like a man who looks about 50 facially.
Yeah,
but he's somehow 31. I don't know how.
Mad, isn't it?
It's mad. You zoom into Hulk Hogan, especially. Like, I can't believe he's 31. How does that work?
And a Hulk Hogan in 84 does not look like Hulk Hogan in even like 87.
No.
He's got a head like a fucking bucket. It's just
he's
massive.
Got hair like a bucket. I know that. He's just like proper.
He looks entirely like he's had his head re-sculpted in later years to make it easier for them to do action figures on him. It's just, in this, he's got like a huge, big Stone Age forehead and he sort of looks really dumb and, oh. But Jesus Christ, I haven't watched this match for a long time. This is one of those matches that when you get into wrestling, it's the one you want to see the most because it's Hogan's first title win.
Right.
And you watch it at the time and you go, oh, that's all right. You know, it's quite quick and everything. I absolutely loved this match.
Well, the crowd just are so hot for him.
Oh, they are ready. They are ready for a change.
Yeah.
They've been there since 1922. Ed the Strangler Lewis. And they're like, we want something fresh. We want something we can get behind. I don't want someone who looks like, you know, they could be beaten. I want a Superman.
Yeah.
I want to feel safe.
And I want a little bit of fucking charisma as well. Like,
yeah.
Before, you know, you see these sort of guys who, you know, jobbed. And this is a TV star. He's a guy who can do spots on Baywatch, and he can, you know, he can appear on Going Live and stuff. He's a guy who is just money.
Yeah.
And that is so, that's why The Rock's big. That's why Macho Man was so big.
Yep.
Even though they could both go as wrestlers. Like, it's what you pay your money for.
Hogan is 100% money. He is, there is no one else around at that time who could have been in that position that Hulk Hogan was and have it work as well as it did.
Yeah.
He, I looked at who else was on the card, because it just seems like, oh, this is the dawn of the modern era. The match before this was a match between midgets, as they used to call it, midget wrestling. It was Haiti Kid versus Tiger Jackson. Haiti Kid and Tiger Jackson against Dana Carpenter and Pancho Boy in a 2 out of 3 falls midget tag team match.
Right.
That you could not set a match before Hulk Hogan's that goes, here is the dividing point between the eras. You know, there are matches on there before, you have Tito Santana versus Magnificent Morocco.
Right.
Two guys who could really go. Yeah. But they go to a double disqualification in 16 minutes. People had never seen a match. They'd never really seen a performer like Hogan before. You had your superstar Billy Grahams and your Dusty Rhodeses. But Hogan just comes out like the Hulk.
Mm.
It's the closest thing. You
never stops moving. Just bounding.
Never stops bounding. You see the Sheik, and the Sheik is a unit in this.
Sheik is an incredible, because you always see him as an older man, but like, he's 42 here, I think, and he is beautiful physically.
Absolutely.
Absolute monster.
He is still doing some old-fashioned things.
Yeah.
So he's shouting back at the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing that up yours gesture with his hands. People don't do enough these days. And he's got Freddie Blassie as his manager.
The Ayatollah Freddie Blassie.
Yes.
I was looking at Freddie Blassie. He was known as the Hollywood fashion plate.
Yes, he was.
What's a fashion plate?
Well,
Mark?
He used to wear expensive clothes.
What's a why did they call it a fashion plate?
I don't. Again,
is it for a magazine or something?
I
maybe
think it's like must
a,
be. But
like
again,
a, like
this
a
is
thing that you would make lots of magazines. The plate of the typeset.
So
kind
I'm,
of
so
letter
I'm
set.
Like the what's it called? The blueprint of fashion, sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, okay.
But again, this is exactly about it, about people who his nickname is out of date, right? It dates back to steam presses in the 20s.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the Hollywood Ayatollah Fred Blassie. He's the Hollywood fashion plate.
He's also known as the vampire Fred Blassie, which is a much better thing because he used to chew on people's heads.
Okay, right.
There's a famous thing, one of his matches in Japan, about three people died watching it. They had heart attacks because he was just chewing on the head of Ricky Dozan. I mean, he was a really good performer. Also one of the first elderly performers that they brought back into the fold and then would use in videos at the start of WrestleMania.
Oh,
where
you'd
have Freddie Blassie looking back on his life as a fashion plate and vampire. And, it starts with him...
Kyoto Japanese.
It starts with him doing a little interview with Mean Gene.
Yes.
Who was another person that Vince McMahon had poached from the AWA.
Right.
He was like, that guy's got the voice. This is the voice I want for my national company. So Freddie Blassie is there and he starts it. I think, you know, Mean Gene goes, is the Sheik ready for Hulk Hogan? And Fred Blassie just goes, yeah, in other words, they pulled a 96er on us. It's like, fuck it. Freddie, do you want to dance the black bottom and get typhus to really get across that you're ancient, that you're 3,000 years old?
It's not the beatnik talk.
I'm going to speak to Hogan in Aramaic. Don't stop. Sheik comes out. He delivers a little bit in Iranian, in Farsi, presumably.
Yeah.
And Mean Gene says, look, Sheik, I know you can
you
speak
know
English.
We know you can speak English.
Oh, that was over-egging what the Sheik manages, isn't it? Hogan! It's all over. But this is, again, you know, Sheik looks like he fits in this world of smoky arenas.
Yeah.
And then Hogan comes out and it's just like, he might as well just be followed by fire, you know? That everything is burning down, that everything will change.
Well, like,
Sheik's
boots as well. It's just kind of like his
really
stupid
is.
Boots.
That thing where he loads the boot during the match, where it's like, oh, he kicked it.
And,
means he's putting a weight in there. That's never happened in real life. And again, it's the sort of thing that you'd read in a 1930s comic.
Yeah.
Cats and Jammer Kids. Maybe if I clink my heel, the ingot will, the donkey's horseshoe will, you know, and then I'll be able to have a slap up knish, you know. I mean, Jesus Christ. I'm fascinated with how old fashioned it seems.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What they do, of course, is the crowd in this are absolutely lunatic because they are like, holy fuck, this is something new, something really exciting. Their arms are in the air the whole time. They're just like, holy, this is like the rapture. And they are just going lunatic. They themselves will all be replaced over the next 5 years, essentially by younger people.
Yeah.
It'll be kids suddenly getting into it because of Hogan. So they're cheering for their own demise, the death of the sport that they love, the fools. But yeah, Hogan, you're right, he doesn't stop moving. He just, everyone else looks really solid and slow. Because Hogan is just amped up, he's just rocking back and forth, he's pointing, he's shaking, it's just perpetual motion.
It's fantastic.
You don't think of that about Hogan. You don't think of him as being like the most dynamic man in the room.
Mm.
And he's just incredible.
And then at the end they bring his obviously he wins and they the Mean Gene says the party has not diminished one iota. And then two elderly people appear. And you're like, it sounds like the party has diminished a little bit.
Not just that. Those elderly people are Hulk Hogan's mum and dad.
Yes.
Pete and Ruth.
It's sort of kind of like, I was thinking, yeah, they've still got that kind of hawky nonsense. But then you sort of think, yeah, but he's quite clean cut and he respects his mum and dad and he respects America and he's just destroyed the Dying Sheik and yeah.
Yeah, they have that little bit where they Andre comes in and pours a bottle of champagne. That is the one thing you really notice there is that is obviously champagne because it gets in Hogan's eyes and it hurts him.
Yeah.
And he's continually going, and every time he opens his eyes for a split second, it's like, shut again. And then Ivan Putski, a dinosaur who doesn't realise the asteroid is standing in front of him, goes up to the asteroid, says, well done, asteroid. And he then pours more champagne over him. And it's just Hogan, like, wincing.
The Rock's dad turns up.
Yeah, there's Rocky Johnson. Hey, maybe I'll be surviving in the new era. No.
In a way.
Scorched earth policy. Pete and Ruth are there and they get to do a little interview. Ruth says he's been wonderful for the sport and the sport's wonderful to him, which is really nice. And his dad is not great. Gene makes the good point. He says, I don't think he would have got to where he got to tonight without parents.
Mm.
Yeah, no fucking shit, Gene. he would just not exist otherwise, you fucking moron. Hogan's dad is not over keen on the promo that Hogan then gives holding on to him. His dad's like,
I'm sure he's shouting.
Fucking off me.
Why are you shouting?
Many years later, Hogan talks about why this was his favourite match of all time.
All right.
And obviously, it's such a key match and an important one, the birth of Hulkamania. Mm. I mean, the response he gets before and after. To win the world belt in like 5 minutes, it had never been done before. And to just destroy the champion in the way he did. The Sheik actually is brilliant in this match. He allows himself to just be chucked about continuously. Mm. And because he's big, it really, really works.
Yeah.
It's a real sort of sense as well that everyone in that audience is just going, this is a matter of personal pride.
Yeah.
It's almost like this is the birth of patriotism in modern America, where everyone's just like, America, fucking yeah. number one! Yeah! Kick his ass! But Hogan talked about why this was his favourite match of all time. And it's actually really sweet. So he said, there's a backstory to this. He said, I have to go back many years when I was going back to the University of South Florida, majoring in finance and management with a minor in music. After a bunch of years of going to college and quitting to play music several times, I finally quit for good to be a professional wrestler. It just killed both my parents. It ruined their hopes and dreams for me. So there was a very strained relationship for quite a long time with me and my mum and dad. Mm. Then at Madison Square Garden, where I beat the Iron Sheik, I had both my parents in the audience sitting next to Vince McMahon's wife, Linda. When I came back with the belt, Andre was pouring champagne on my head. My dad and mum came to the dressing room. They both said how proud they were of me, and they were very happy that I'd made that decision to be a wrestler.
Oh,
isn't that sweet?
It's a little bit like when I played the football ramble in Newcastle and my mum and
dad. Have your parents seen you do much stuff?
No, that's the only thing they've ever watched me do.
Yeah.
Everything that they couldn't watch on their computers.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, they're never going to be into it.
No, my mum and dad continually say, oh, it'd be nice to come and see Wrestle Me, but then when I'm like, here's the date, they're like, yeah, we're away.
Yeah.
You're going to check the diary, see if it... No. I know we're away then. Yeah. Oh, actually, I got it wrong. It's the 3rd. Yeah. No, that's actually what I thought you said. So that's definitely the dates we're away. The Sheik was recently...
Fuck them, they don't deserve me.
Fucking bullshit.
Fucking shit.
the Sheik who he did a shoot interview many, many years later, and that's really where that came from, where he spent the entire time trying to sort out drugs being delivered to him and getting more and more angry and furious. But he was a lovely bit I saw. So Netflix have been talking about making the Hulk Hogan movie,
right.
And Chris Hemsworth was actually named as being the person who is going to be playing Hogan. Whether or not that's still the case, who knows? This was probably 6-8 months ago. And one of the things they were talking about is, of course, this is a key moment, the birth of Hulkamania, is this recreation of this match. And the Iron Sheik just tweeted out, Chris Hemsworth, you jabroni, I swear to Jesus, I suplex you when I see you. Remember who make the Hulkamania and is the real legend of the earth. I do love the Sheik. I'm glad that he's got this sort of branding going on that is making him funny. But honestly, watching this match, it was just, he was the thing that I'd really not really paid attention to. Mm. And how good he was in this. And how he deserves so much credit. If he'd have basically had a thing where I think there was something about someone trying to put out a bounty on him and you know, he was going to be paid a load of money if he broke Hulk Hogan's leg by another promoter,
that
sort of thing. And Sheik is always a very unreliable narrator. he's entertaining,
yes,
but it's unreliable.
Yeah.
Even in that little promo he does, he goes, you're looking not Olympic wrestler. And he was not. I mean, it's all those sorts of things. He was obviously a very high-level amateur wrestler in a country as well that takes wrestling very seriously.
Right.
But he... he's always been you know, underrated for these sorts of things. And watching him, had he not been as good as he is that night, the impact of Hogan would never have been half as big. Mm. And so he deserves all the credit as well. Yeah. You know, I think it's too easy to just go, Hogan came in and was sensational. Iron Sheik was waiting for him, and he allowed Hogan to look like $1 million. Mm. And I thought that was lovely. The other thing I just did notice, which I thought is perfect about those two, the end of an era and the start of a new one, is that Sheik, who does go, of course, you know, through another few years, he's around until sort of 92 in WWE as Colonel Mustafa, and he does sort of tag teaming with Nikolai Volkov through the early WrestleManias. In this match, he's wearing his, you know, boots that curl up at the end.
Yeah.
But you can see he's got a pair of really 80s Nike sports socks on, where they've got the red band, it's white, and then the blue band
and stuff.
And they're showing out those Terry Towling ones. I've actually got an exact same pair of those that my dad
had. You never see them anymore,
do you? And they come up all the way to
his knee.
Socks,
really thick tennis socks.
He's got them all the way up there, and they're poking out the top of his boots. And when you look at Hogan, he's got gold boots on, and there's no fucking socks poking out the top of it. I looked at that and I thought, that's the key for me, socks. Yeah. When they stop wearing socks, that's the modern era. Cheeky baby.
Lovely.
Just really quickly, I'd like to do one tiny thing, which is about Roland Barthes. Now, Roland Barthes is one of the people who allowed me to sort of get interested in wrestling when I was older.
Right.
Because he is this mental, like, intellectual. So he was... Wikipedia, which I had to go to because I couldn't work out what he does. He's one of those intellectuals who... It, we sort of go, what do you do? What would I know you from? And they just go, well, I mean, you know, I think that's a question for you, isn't it? You go, do you actually have a job? I
don't. Yeah.
But he is cited as one of the 20th century's most influential theorists. His work impacted on an enormous range of fields, including literary criticism, theatre studies and linguistics. Mm. But more importantly for us, he was also interested in wrestling.
Right.
And in 1972, he wrote an essay called The World of Wrestling. He opened it with, and this is not easy reading. I read it at university and I was like, I don't quite follow this, but I think he's saying it's all right to like wrestling. And he said, the virtue of all in wrestling is that it is the spectacle of excess. He said, in the ring, wrestlers are the key which opens nature, the pure gesture that separates good from evil. Again, I find it hard to follow. It
sounds like a Jake the Snake promo.
It does. But what he says, the line that I really like, and I think actually is really key to this match, which happens 12 years later. He could have been talking about this Hulk Hogan match. Mm. Roland Barthes said, when people suspend their beliefs and invest in wrestling, they allow the wrestlers to become gods. Mm. And there's a funny thing about this where nobody has ever looked more like an actual god outside of like modern Marvel movies where it's all CGI and, you know, it's built up for an hour and a half. No one's ever looked more like an actual god than Hulk Hogan on this night in Madison Square Garden. You know? And look, if it's good enough for Roland Barthes, the 20th century's most influential theorist, it's damn well good enough for you.
If you think that wrestling can't teach you anything about life, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, when people are like, oh, you're listening to that stupid wrestling podcast and you're watching stupid wrestling, you say to them, hey, Roland Barthes, he wrote an essay called Go Fuck Yourself. Maybe you should read it.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We'll be back next time with more Wrestle Me, Massa.
Boom.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.